In the name of the Father and Son, Holy Spirit, one God, Amen. First, I want to congratulate all of us for the enthronement of our 118th Pope, Pope Tawadros II. It was a joyful, okay, of course, celebration and liturgy. We ask God to give him many years to shepherd us in peace and in shepherding us also in purity and righteousness. Today, we heard again the parable of the sower. And as we all know, this parable is repeated twice at the beginning of the month of Hathor. The question that we are going to ask ourselves and try to find answer to it is that, is it possible for the ground to change? Yes, the Lord spoke to us about different kinds of grounds, and we all know that only the fourth kind was the one that was able to bear fruits. And sometimes we can relate to any of these grounds. But the question that comes after this, is it possible for us to change? Or if I am a ground that's not going to bear fruits, I will always live like this till the end of my life. Actually, King Solomon says a very depressing statement in his book, The Ecclesiastes, when he says, that which has been is what will be, that which is done is what will be done, and there is nothing new under the sun. And actually, in order for us to understand what he was writing about, we have to put this like a label before the book of Ecclesiastes. When God does not exist, when he is not in our lives, then we can understand everything. Then, as he says, that which has been is what will be. Nothing is going to change. Definitely, God wouldn't give us a parable about different kinds of grounds unless he wants to motivate us, to give us hope that we can change. Even if we are not where we need to be, but definitely there is hope. Otherwise, why he is telling us about this parable or other parables? In order for us to be able to change, we have certain kinds of motives and factors supportive of the change. We will speak about these four positive factors that can help us in our way to change. Also, there are many hindrances, and these hindrances, they suppress the transformation process. So we'll speak about seven of these negative factors that hinder us from changing. Let us go first and review what are these factors that could motivate us to change. The first one is when we see the negative impact of our choices. When we keep doing poor choices and performing in a certain way that make us to feel like everything is going wrong, maybe I feel the impact of my choices and decisions among my family members. Maybe I lose my job because of my attitude. Maybe I see in my son or my daughter an attitude that I don't like, and I come to ask why he is doing what he's doing, and then the answer will be, he's just copying me. All of these might motivate us to think that there is a change needed. This exactly what happened with the prodigal son. Until he was at the point of starving and even like wishing to eat from the food of the swine, feeling the impact of his decision on his life, till this moment, he never thought that I need to change. There is something wrong going with me. So this is something for us to think about and to review our lives. Where am I heading? And what are the results of my decisions? If I see there is negatives around me, my relationships, in my marriage, in raising my children, in my workplace, things are falling apart, maybe I need to ask myself if there is change that is needed. Another factor that can motivate us to change also, when there would be something like an interruption to life with a major incident. Maybe an illness, maybe losing a beloved person. These make us to stop and to think, and many times we are able to change when we capitalize on the opportunity. We say about it, it's an opportunity, because if God allows something major to happen, definitely he is allowing this for a good purpose. He wants us to rethink where are we heading. Nothing really like tribulations make us to pay attention to him. Some of the fathers say that tribulation is the trumpet of God. He keeps on calling, change, change. Something is not going right. And we keep dismissing the call, ignoring him, until something major makes us to stop and to think, and then we realize that we are heading in the wrong direction. Another factor also that can motivate us to change is the influence of a positive environment. When I am where godly people are, seeing them, encountering them, maybe on daily basis, this can make us to feel like I want to be like those people. King Saul, at the beginning of his life, just a lay person, normal person, has nothing exceptional about him. But we hear about him when he came among the assembly of the prophets. What happened is, this is, we read it in 1 Samuel. It happened when all who knew him formerly, so that he indeed prophesied among the prophets, that the people said to one another, "What is this that has come upon the son of Kish? Is Saul also among the prophets? What made him to acquire this gift?" Just being in the positive environment among other prophets. This is the command carried to all of us, to stir love in the heart of each one. St. Paul says to the Hebrews, "And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some, but exhorting one another." That's why we keep on calling of our children, don't miss the liturgy. Don't miss the meetings in the church. No one in your school is going to tell you, "Pray today in the morning, do you remember that there will be a judgment day?" It will never happen. Actually, all the messages around us in our community is exactly doing the opposite. Get us away from God. Whenever even the name of God is mentioned, people have some negative comments. Some even will mock the holy name of God. The whole thing is for the world, it is nonsense. Being here, being with one another, this will keep us among a positive environment that can help us to change. The fourth positive factor that can help us to change is when we experience God's love. This is very personal. This is something I feel like he cares about me in person. This is exactly what made Zacchaeus and the Samaritan woman to change. I felt something very personal between me and him. And because of this experience, I will never go back to my former lifestyle. I'm changing because I tasted him. He did something to me. It's not just being knowing about God, being the good one, the lover of mankind. No, I know him as my friend and my father. There is a story about a man who lived by himself. And this man was in a desperate mood because he lost everything. And he thought of himself that the best way to finish my struggle is to commit suicide. So he decided that he's going to do this. He's going to kill himself. And then he thought in himself for a minute and said that maybe this is not something that God wants me to do. But I will give God one chance. The chance is, if a priest come to my house and visit me today, then I'm not going to kill myself because I will realize God cares. This man, his address was not on any of the church lists. Since he moved, he never went to the church. He never communicated his address or his phone number to the church in any way. Few hours later, someone knocked on his door. And he opened, and to his surprise, he found a priest. And the priest was asking about somebody else. So when the man asked him, "Whom you are seeking?" he said, "I'm looking for this person." He said that he's not here, but can you please come in? He brought the priest in and he asked him, "What brought you here today?" He said to him that, "I have a list and I was visiting people. I think that I just knocked over your door by mistake." For this person, it was not a mistake. It was sent by God. This is very personal now. Maybe the priest didn't know about the deal he had with God, but he knew and he felt it, and this was a day when he changed it forever. God cared and he showed me this. I'm not saying this that we all have to wait until somebody that he has to knock on the door for us to feel God cares, but everyone has his own experience And these experiences of God's love, very personal, make us to change. As we have many factors that should support our change, there are also hindrances. We will speak quickly about 7 of these that keep us, as King Solomon says, as it was, it always will be. This is not what we are saying in the liturgy, but it is very close. The first negative factor is missing the image, meaning what exactly I should look like when I change. You know, when you wanted to be something, you have to look at something and compare yourself. This is the image, this is whom I am, and then I want to be like this. But if I don't have the image of God in the background, if I have another role model, I have a celebrity to be my example, this is the one that I am following him on Twitter, this is the one I am following over his news and Facebook and seeing that he did this, he went there, he bought this, but God is not actually on my list. He is not really the image that I am thinking of myself at all times. I want to be like this. Then what are we talking about here? When we are going to change, we will definitely look like the model. Sometimes even we think of God, his image, not so highly. Yeah, God is good, but I do not want to be like Christ. He's so meek and he looks weak. I really do not want to live like this. I like him in private, but whenever it comes to lifestyle, I do not want to be like this. I know his image, but this is not what I want to be like. There is also a story about a rich person. This person, he had like positions. He had many like wonderful icons and pictures, and even he lived in a palace that has like a big backyard and many fields around him. And he had a son whom he loved so much. And he brought someone, an artist, to make a portrait of his son. This was the picture that he cared about it the most. He liked it so much. His son fell ill and he passed away. The father was broken and he decided that he's going to move away and he's going to sell everything. So he entrusted selling everything over those people who have like they run auctions. So the man, the auctioneer who came, he said, let us start the auction. People around who lived around this palace, they wanted to acquire the possessions of this rich man. He had things that were antiques and were valued so highly. So the auctioneer said, I'm going to start by the selling of the picture of the son. Really, the people didn't care about it much, except one person, the gardener, who worked in this palace for many years. He also liked the son. He wanted to keep his image. So the auctioneer started the auction, and only the person who bid was the gardener. Can I have this? Then it was given to him. He got it for even a cheap price. To the surprise of everyone, people who were waiting for the auctioneer to proceed, starting selling the palace and everything, the auctioneer said, that's it. The father said, the one who buys the image gets everything else for free. This is maybe a symbolic picture, a symbolic story, but it says everything. If we have the image, we have everything. If we don't have the image, we have nothing. Even if we are successful as we think, even if we are rich and healthy, even if we are admired by everyone around us, it's all worthless. If you have the image of the Son, you have it all. If you don't have the image, you have nothing. Another hindrance to the change is avoiding the mirror. I do not want to see myself. I am content in whom I am. That's why should I change? Change is expensive, is difficult, is painful sometimes. St. Augustine has a very nice saying. He says, if you believe what you like in the gospel, will you believe but yourself? If I look at the Bible and say, I like this. I want to really live by this. But this one is not for me. Maybe this is for the clergy. Maybe this is outdated. Maybe this is something that for somebody else, but not me. I will never change. I will be the same person over and over simply because I'm not reading about God. I'm reading about myself. Whom should I believe? When people say that you are a wonderful person, and others say that you are is saying about us that we are not good, whom I should believe? Who should be my mirror? What about the relationship with my father of confession? Am I sincere and honest in exposing myself? Am I willing to hear his input and feedback when he says this needs to change? Or I avoid him altogether? It is better for me not even to sit with him. And I keep thinking and feeding in my mind that my father of confession doesn't like me. He's not fair to me. Actually, I am avoiding the mirror because I do not want to change. Another hindrance is the hidden master. We have an image inside us. This is the ego. The ego does not want us to change. He wants to be as he is. And he shows himself in the way when we are criticized or someone is correcting us, we dismiss this. And we put the blame over everyone else. It is he, it is she. My parents did this to me. The church, it is Abuna. It is my neighbors, the people in the class, the people wherever, in the school. Everyone is mistaken but me. Why? Simply because the master inside does not want to take responsibility for the mess and seek to change. Also, this master shows himself in thinking that we are wise in our own eyes. I do not have anyone to refer to. Actually, there is no counselor in my life. I am content because I know it all. I have all the experience. I have been in the church for many years. Who is going to add anything to my knowledge? All of these says, actually, that the master inside is not allowing the change. The fourth hindrance is the lack of commitment. It is when we come to the church saying, I need to change. I know I have to. And then when we go out, we pray for a couple of days. And then everything goes back to the flat line of like no movement, no spiritual struggle, nothing. Many are willing to go to heaven, but are not really doing what makes them to be there. Many desire the change, yet not everyone commits to do the work needed. For how many years now we have been saying, I need to pray more, I need to confess more regularly, I need to attend the Bible study in the church. I need to read more. And for how many years all of these plans are on hold? And a year after a year, a month after a month, we just speak about this, but we are not committing to any of these. Another hindrance also is the use of masks. This is one of the most dangerous tricks for us not to change. Is when we acquire an outward display that's pleasing to others, as liked by others. And then after some time, I think of myself, that is, this is whom truly I am. Inside, everything is wrecked, is a mess. But outwardly, I am accepted by others. Why do I need to change? Everyone says that I am a good person. I don't do anything that's bad. And I don't think really that I need to change. I am okay. I'm even servant at the church. Believing the picture of the mask and polishing it at all times will always make us not be able to change. As St. Paul said to Timothy, having a form of godliness but denying its power. The sixth negative factor is the negative influence. As positive atmosphere will change, help us to change, negative one will keep us as is. We are not to be different than the people whom we befriend. I'll just be like them. It's a rule. If you bought a rotten apple among others who are healthy, the healthy are not going to convince the rotten apple to become healthy as well. What will happen is all the apples are going to be rotten. St. Paul says, do not be deceived. Evil company corrupts good habits. Why he starts this statement by saying, do not be deceived? Because it is very tempting to think, I can be an assembly of ungodly people and I can be good still. All of my friends, they speak profanity, but I speak godliness. It's not going to work this way. All of my friends watch porn, but when I'm among them, actually, I can say that let us watch some of the movies about the saints. How far we can go like this? How far we can resist the temptation to be conformed to those among us with whom we live among? We have to be very careful. St. Paul says, do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness, and what communion has light with darkness? I am not here encouraging you to withdraw from the community. Have no friends outside whatsoever. But whenever it is time to make a commitment for life, in marriage or friendship, with a person that's going to be very close, you have to be very careful and make the right choice. Don't underestimate the effect of a negative influence. The last hindrance is giving up trying. Sometimes when we hear and say, I wish Shabona to change, I tried for many years, it's not working. This is the last battle that we lose hope. Anything is subject to change. And God is merciful, who is able to change us and accept us even if the last moment I acknowledge that I needed to change. But giving up trying, being content on whom I am, this is something really that's going to hinder any of us to change and move forward. The parable of the sower is not for us to think of and we feel bad about ourselves. I am like the stony place. I am like the land that's on the street, very superficial. I don't care much. It is for us to be encouraged to change. God wants us to change. He is able to change us. He is giving us many, many days in order for us to think about the change and to accept that change and work with Him this change. Don't be dismayed with the negative factors in your life. As much as you can, try to avoid them or to correct them if it depends on your power. May the Lord grant us to be all fruitful grounds, bear fruits 30 and 60 and 100 folds. To the Lord be the glory forever and ever. Amen.